And we're back in the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. Joining us, someone who is significantly more famous than the last time we talked to him, congressional candidate for the 1st District, Paul Nealon. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Sly. Thanks for having me.
You've gotten a lot of attention the last couple of weeks. And, obviously it's because you're challenging Paul Ryan. But the issue that you're focused on, you're focusing on a couple here, but they're the issues that everybody's talking about this year.
Yeah. I'm really pushing the buttons because they're issues that matter to me, and to Wisconsin's 1st District, jobs, security, this Trans-Pacific Partnership, this job-killing Trans-Pacific Partnership that Paul Ryan is the mercenary champion of, has got to be stopped. It has to be stopped.
It's a bad business deal, right? You're a businessman. Right?
Absolutely.
You're a manufacturer.
That's right. Right.
It's a bad deal. Certainly doesn't help small business, does it?
No, it doesn't help small business. It helps a few businesses. Helps the businesses that put money in Paul Ryan's campaign coffers.
Ah, this is transactional, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. This is good for Paul Ryan. This is good for a select group of people who want to treat American workers like widgets. They want us to be interchangeable in a global workplace that holds down people's salaries, and they can decide who gets to work and who doesn't get to work.
We're two sides of the same coin.
That's right.
I supported Barack Obama in 2008 because he promised he would change the way we're doing these deals. You supported Paul Ryan and believed he would protect jobs in America, and they both disappointed us, right?
That's absolutely right.
One's a conservative Republican, so to speak, and the other's a liberal Democrat, but the truth is they're both beholden to the people that sent them to power.
That's right. I completely agree with that.
What did you think, by the way, when former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin made her remarks on national television? Were you expecting that?
Well, yeah, she vetted me. It wasn't like...
she knew how to pronounce your name, which is better than I could say.
It's only six letters, but, those old German names, they're hard to pronounce sometimes. Nealon doesn't look like Nealon when you put an H in there. But, she vetted me, and she's been good for getting my name out there. She got my name into some national audiences, and then people really started asking questions. Well, what is this guy running on? And if I'm talking to a liberal progressive, if I'm talking to a Tea Partier, if I'm talking to a guy in a union or a woman in a union or somebody who's a white collar person of any stripe, they need to understand that this Trans-Pacific Partnership affects them, and it's going to negatively affect them because job-killing trade deal is going to export our jobs overseas. It's going to import foreign workers to replace us in our jobs here at home. And not only that, it is going to give the United States one vote, Peru, one vote, New Zealand, one vote, Australia, one vote, Vietnam, one vote. So essentially, we will be like the EU, but we will be the United States of Asia. You might as well start calling us the United States of Asia if you want this trade deal to go through.
Yeah.
And
loss
nobody,
of sovereignty.
It's the loss of sovereignty. That's exactly right.
I would say in general, I don't agree with Sarah Palin on much. But long before you came onto the scene, she spoke at Serb Hall in Milwaukee to kind of a hostile crowd. This was a very Charlie Sykes sort of crowd, sort of cookie cutter Republicans that are solidly behind Paul Ryan. But she got up at Serb Hall, and I will tell you, more than any candidate or surrogate this year, she spoke quite eloquently about her problems with the Trans-Pacific Partnership and trade. I'm just going to play a little bit of this for you.
Which candidate? Second messed up policy I want to talk about is trade. The loss of our industry jobs represents one of the greatest betrayals of the working people in the history of modern civilization. And it's for shame, politicians. They know who they are who've been a part of this problem. We had the greatest manufacturing sector known to man. Well, it was dismantled and shipped overseas right under our noses because of political incompetence and corruption and nonsensical ideology. A third of our manufacturing jobs a third of them, they disappeared following two major policies, NAFTA, and then China entering the World Trade Organization. Our trade treaties, well, today they're not even enforced. They're kind of a joke around the globe. Trading partners like China, they're contractually banned from unfairly subsidizing products. They do it anyway, and they laugh all the way to the bank. Their cheating tactic is currency manipulation, and we can't compete when their central banks devalue their currencies. Trump is the only one hot on this because he's the only one who understands the art of the deal. Our partners cheating is how our middle class disappears. The trade ideologues, they say, well, we can't respond to foreign cheating, so we're going to scare people. We're going to start talking about threats of trade wars. Wisconsin, these are the voices responsible for trade surrender. They say, we can't enforce the rules because, well, then maybe that trinket made in China, maybe it's going to cost a penny more. Well, if a country or a company cheats us, they're pretending, what the heck? They're going to pretend it doesn't happen and they're going to lose jobs. What the heck? Eventually, ultimately, though, what happens then is we lose the American work ethic that built this most exceptional nation.
That's the most articulate I've heard of anybody talk about trade in this of the presidential elections or the surrogates. Now, I'm saying something nice about Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Normally do. Wasn't that something?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, she nailed it. She nailed it. And this currency devaluation, I mean, people don't, you know, if you go to work every day and you're not paying attention to what's going on in the Financial Times, like most of us are not, that currency devaluation is a huge problem because it unfairly makes their products cheaper into our market. They need our market. They need our market to sell into. China does. So when they devalue their currency, it then allows them entry into our market. American manufacturers, American industry, American healthcare is second to none. You don't see people making flights to China to get worked on their medically, right? People are coming to the United States to get medical treatment because we have the most cutting edge medical treatment in the United States. We have the most cutting edge manufacturing in the United States. We have to leverage that. The way you leverage that is with free trade, not with captive markets. Paul Ryan is Captain Captive Markets, is what I like to call him. He absolutely thinks a 5,500 page trade deal is going to help us. He thinks that he believes that. And at the same time, he will say to you, you know, I'm all for smaller government. I'm for less regulation. From 1950 until today, we have 18 times more regulations for manufacturers, for business, for everybody to deal with. 18 times. Think about 1950. We were making cars, planes, boats, you name it. United States was hammering stuff out. And what has happened? As we have increased in trade, in the 60s, 9% of our GDP was driven by trade. Today, 30% of our GDP is driven by trade. If you look at the trend line of our GDP from the 60s to today, it is a downward line. It is a downward line. Absolutely.
Wouldn't you like to see, Paul Nealon, by the way, with us, candidate for Congress in the 1st District, wouldn't you like to see an interviewer question someone like Paul Ryan or Ron Kein, two of the biggest free traders out there, about the last free trade deal they voted for? That would be South Korea, Panama, and Colombia.
Love.
Now, Panama's not particularly significant other than it looks like people are hiding money there, but Colombia has terrible labor violations.
Yep.
And we already have a huge trade deficit with South Korea, mm-hmm. and they're cheating.
Yeah. Yeah, and you look at these trade deals. These trade deals are about worker exploitation. That's exactly what these trade deals are about. Just 3.5 weeks ago, I was at Abbott Labs right over the line from Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Uh-huh. So some of the people that work at Abbott Labs live in our district.
Sure.
And Abbott Labs brought in 180 H-1B visa holders, and they told their workers, you have 90 days to train your foreign replacement. And if you don't, you're not getting your severance. So those jobs didn't go away, but the Americans lost their jobs.
How is that not treason?
That's a great question. I was asked that question. You know, I was asked that same question by a guy who wants our border secured. You know, I was down at the border recently.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I was down at the border. I was down in the Laredo sector and the El Paso sector. Cheap Mexican heroin is killing people in Wisconsin right now. Google heroin deaths in Wisconsin. It's coming across the border because the border's wide open. The border's wide open. We've got Border Patrol agents and we've got sheriffs down there who are not being supported, and that's getting over the border. And so a gentleman in Houston called me. I was driving between Laredo and El Paso, and he said, my son was shot in the head by an illegal alien who was in prison in the United States for 5 years. He had been here 4 times, had several crimes against him. He got out and shot his son in the head. And he said to me, if Paul Ryan's been in Congress for 18 years and he's not working to secure this border, he goes, if that's not the definition of treason, I don't know what is.
Well,
he said that to me.
And as I've said to you, NAFTA, which Paul Ryan didn't vote for, but certainly would have had he could have, has exacerbated people coming over the border because of the way these trade deals were written, running farmers off their land. It's made a mess of everything. And of course, now Mexico has a trade surplus with the United States.
Yeah. Mexico gets $7 billion in help from the XIM Bank that last year this time, last summer, maybe a few months away, Paul Ryan was railing against the XIM Bank, which I agree gives unfair. It's absurd for the United States government to take risks on behalf of large companies. There are banks out there that float loans like that. You don't need to get the federal government involved in it. Paul Ryan railed against it. And then when Boehner was put out, who reinstated the XIM Bank? Captive markets. Paul Ryan. He attached it to the highway bill. We wouldn't have that XIM Bank right now if it weren't for Paul Ryan.
All right. We'll take a break. Paul Nealon with us, candidate for Congress. Your website before we take the break.
DumpPaulRyan.com.
That ought to stick in your head. We'll be back on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380.
Paul from AMS with us on the Big FM 93.7.
We are having an inventory clearance sale. And we've had some people come in and take excellent advantage of that. And we've got lots and lots of really good equipment left, too.
So your location?
Right near the corner of PD and Verona Road on the southwest side of Madison. You can call us at 608-274-7400, amsmadison.com, or you can even like us on Facebook.
Sounds great. Paul from AMS. You're driving home with Sly on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. Paul Nealon with us. He is a candidate for Congress in the 1st Congressional District. You live in Walworth County.
Delavan. Yep.
Delavan?
Yes, sir.
You're a manufacturer. You're a businessman.
Yes, sir.
You worked your way from the floor up.
18 years old, I was working in a factory as a maintenance mechanic. Got my engineering degree at night. I worked my way in the engineering department, eventually ran that business. I've run businesses all around the United States. Ran a big business in Delavan for Fortune 500. We did so well through the downturn, 08 and 09, they said, why don't you go run all of our businesses in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa? I did that, and then I cycled back to the States and eventually said, you know, I can live anywhere I want. I want to live in Wisconsin. Married a woman, 4th of July last year, here, and I love Wisconsin's 1st District. It's
now, long. Have you ever driven a Wienermobile?
I have never driven a Wienermobile.
I live in Madison, so I'm not going to make fun of the Wienermobile too much because those are the 3 jobs that were saved by Oscar Mayer after Warren Buffett and some hedge fund guys bought it and destroyed those manufacturing jobs. By the way, what do we do about the vocations? We've got the pension debacle going on, right? Mm-hmm. Where the Teamsters could have lost 90% of their pensions. We've got, we've got jobs like Oscar Mayer going away from Wisconsin because of these big deals. What do we do about people working and making things in America, and not just free trade? We've got a whole bunch of problems.
Yeah, there's a lot of manufacturing still going on in the world. When I talk to people and they're not in manufacturing, they go, oh, we don't build anything anymore. We build a lot of stuff in the United States. We do a hell of a job building it, too.
But that's in danger.
It's in danger. It's absolutely in danger. And in fact, here in Wisconsin, the Milwaukee School of Engineering has a brilliant program In fact, I've used them all around the country. I brought their techniques over to Europe and trained 350 people of my employees over in Europe. Half of them were finance people and half of them were manufacturing people. Why would I do that? Because I build stronger businesses. I build them here in the United States. I brought jobs back from Mexico to the United States, from Canada to the United States. And you know what? The businesses are more profitable. They're stronger. We hire more people. There are smart people across this country burdened by tremendous amounts of regulation. Look, none of us are for polluting the environment. None of us wants to put workers at risk.
Well, there might be a few people.
There might be a few. But you know what? Largely, you know, people proudly put boards that they mark how many days they've gone without an accident. How, you know, we talk about those things. We talk about, we have safety programs. We have training programs, all sorts of things to... The best emails or phone calls that I ever get are from former employees who say to me, "Hey, boss, guess what I'm doing now? This training program you put me through 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I took that. Now I'm doing something else, and they're doing better in the world." That's gratifying to me. That makes me feel good because when I was 18 years old and I was working my way through an engineering degree at night, there were kind people that looked out for me and said, you know, look out for this or look out for that or do this or do that. And, you know, I got two ears and one mouth. I mean, I'm talking a lot because I'm on the radio right now, but I listen to what people say. I carry a notebook with me when I'm in the district. I carry a notebook with me when I was in Texas on the border trying to understand from these sheriffs, why is the border open? Why can't this be secured? So I'm going to visit all nine sectors of the border. And I want to understand, how do we keep heroin from killing our kids? How do we do that? What is Paul Ryan worried about? Paul Ryan's worried about getting the Puerto Rico investors paid off. We have no skin in the game with Puerto Rico. None. There is no risk-free investment. These people who were investing in Puerto Rico knew there was a problem in Puerto Rico. 19 of the last 23 years, they've run a deficit there. The investment income they were getting was tax-free municipal investments. They were looking to get paid off. It is wrong for Paul Ryan to be championing that. The reason he's championing it is because not only are the people of Wisconsin's first district paying his salary, 83% of his campaign financing came from outside this district. A full 65% of it came, even more probably by now, he's got $7 million in the bank, came from inside the D.C. Beltway. The same people that want this trade deal are the same people that want Puerto Rico bailed out.
Paul Nealon with us in the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. So Paul Ryan is playing a little game right now about whether he's going to endorse Donald Trump. All year, he had been saying he would endorse the Republican nominee. Now, people can make a moral judgment on Donald Trump one way or another, but he's playing a game. This isn't forthright, is it? Does this sound genuine to you?
No, this is more Paul Ryan's a puppet and somebody's pulling his strings and he can't say he's the highest elected Republican official in this country. He agreed that he would support the nominee. Now, Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee. He's got some nerve saying that he's not going to support him. I've said I'll support him. I've said I'll support whoever the nominee is going to be. And it's clearly going to be Mr. Trump. So why would Paul Ryan hold it back? He's holding it back because he's trying to play a game.
Did you see that poll, though, how Republican voters felt?
Yeah.
they don't side with him.
58% support Trump in his leadership of the party versus, 39% for Paul Ryan? I was surprised Paul Ryan is as high as he was, honestly. I mean, across the country, Paul Ryan, I think, only has 44% approval.
He was not a good vice presidential candidate.
He lost twice in the same year. He lost Janesville, he lost his precinct, and he lost the state.
By the way, we should reiterate this primary April 9th.
August 9th, you're right.
August 9th, excuse me. Anybody can vote in that.
That's right. And
you're not running a particularly partisan campaign.
Well, I'm running on the Republican side because I'm going head to head against the guy.
But you're not using cookie cutter Republican language in this campaign.
No, of course not.
You're not a liberal, but you're...
No, of course not. Look, I'm here for American workers. I'm building a broad coalition. whether you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, do you want a job? Do you want to pay your bills? Do you want to not have your job shipped overseas or have a foreign worker replace you in your job? If so, you should be pulling the lever for Paul Nealon. You should be coloring in the mark, sticking it in the box with Paul Nealon on it. If you want your job sent overseas, or you want, if you want special interests voting for Paul Ryan in Congress, then you should vote for Paul Ryan.
You know, have you noticed that the D.C. and New York pundits love Paul Ryan? They do. They get a little man crush on him.
I know. He's keeping the money machine rolling.
But he speaks a language that is almost attuned to them.
Yeah. He's the grease in the cogs of government.
Now, you have put this video out where you're on your Harley.
Okay? Yes, sir.
You have tattoos.
I do.
All right. Okay. I never had the courage to do that.
I didn't live my life like I was going to run for Congress.
We're getting to the point where tattoos are pretty normal.
Yeah.
But you showed your tattoos, but more importantly, you went to a bunch of clothes factories. They weren't very hard to find, were they?
No, they weren't, unfortunately. You know, I mean, it's sad to drive by that GM plant. It's sad to drive by any plant that's closed and know that there are people working in there. I like walking in the morning and getting into the factory and saying hello to people and asking them how their kids' ball game went and knowing that they got something going on after work. I mean, I've got a guy over in Kenosha who was just talking to one of my Get Out the Vote guys. He said every day after work, he goes out and he plants my signs in the ground. He said there's a little area over in, I don't know, Kenosha Racine area. They call it Nealonville. There's so many signs over there. This guy alone's got, I think, 600 signatures for me.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask you. What sort of response are you getting?
You know, if I sit with somebody, a group, I've sat with the union groups here in Janesville. And they said, gosh, you know, you almost sound like a Democrat. And I said, you shouldn't think of me as any particular party because I'm here for American workers. I'm running as a Republican because I'm for smaller government. I am for smaller government. I am for more efficient things like factories, like anything. I'm for America. I'm for Wisconsin and for Wisconsin's first district. So when you sit and talk to me, I'm getting great response. People don't say to me, oh, well, you're against this or you're against that. No, I'm for the strong America that I grew up in.
You realize you're up against the Bradley Foundation and Charlie Sykes and Absolutely. Milwaukee Talk Radio.
And I don't understand why. I don't understand why, because they supported Mr. Cruz as if they felt that Donald Trump was bad. Well, what was Mr. Cruz saying? Mr. Cruz was saying certain things that they aspired to. Well, he wasn't saying let's ship our jobs overseas. Now, granted, Mr. Cruz and Mr. Ryan put together a joint op-ed that touted the TPP. And then afterwards, Mr. Cruz backed away from that. The entire time, Mr. Trump has said, I am against TPP. And from the moment I heard of it, the moment Senator Sessions came out and reported on this, he had to go into a locked bunker, reading 5,500 pages. Uh-huh. Of information to get that information out to us. When I heard that, I said, you got to be kidding me. And I sent letters to Ryan. I copied Walker on him. I said, you guys got to put the brakes on this. Are you out of your mind? What are you doing? And I got a form letter back. You know,
It's kind of funny. And maybe you won't like the comparison, but Congressman Mark Pocan, who also is a small businessman, has, you know, he came from actually the private sector as well as the public sector, has been just that he's made that his mission. His first two terms in Congress is fighting the TPP. You're from the business sector. Shouldn't there be a bipartisan majority of people looking out for American workers?
Absolutely. Because there certainly is a bi-party uniparty who's looking out to sell us out.
Did you get the story I sent you about New Balance yesterday? Did that arrive to you? Have you heard this story?
New Balance, for the government contract. Yeah. They were kind of leveraged. They were told they were going to get a government contract because I forget which law says that the military has to be supplied unless there's certain caveats
by
put
American,
out there.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so they went to New Balance and said, we'll give you this shoe contract if you come out in support of TPP, kind of, you know, on your own. So New Balance is saying, okay, well, you know, TPP is great. And then no contract comes. And they said, hey, look, what's going on? And they said, oh, well, they didn't really want to deal with them. And so now New Balance is coming out and saying, we were shafted. Everybody shafted, you know.
New Balance has said over the years that if the TPP goes into effect, that will be the last American sneakers. That'll kill them.
Yeah.
It'll kill them. Those jobs will go to Vietnam.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm wearing New Balance right now. I buy their shoes. Some New Balance aren't made in America, but a lot are. I seek them out. I want to wear American shoes.
Yeah.
I want that choice.
I'm wearing boots that were made in America.
It's a novel approach. All right. If you want to make a Neelandville in your community, how
that's
do you do
right.
it?
We've got, well, I'll tell you, we've got an office set up in Delavan on Route 50 by the Dairy Queen and Route 50. There's an office in Kenosha. We've got an office up in Muskego open, and we're working on potentially having one here in Janesville. And you can go to dumppaulryan.com, which will take you to our election website, which is electneelan.com. And on there, if you're shut in, you can't get out for whatever reason, you could get onto our, we have a nationwide phone bank. It's a virtual phone bank. You can log in on your computer and log your credentials in. It'll give you a script. When it dials into the district, it'll show our campaign headquarters phone number. And you can dial in and you can read the script and talk about. You can check it out for yourself. Check out my positions. I would encourage your listeners to go and look at my positions on things. I'm building a broad coalition of people. So I'm here for Wisconsin. I'm here for
started.
Wisconsin's first district, and I'm just getting started. We've got over 4,000 donors. We're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I can't believe Paul Ryan has not, it's been coming on 2 weeks now. I challenged him to a debate on TPP. If he believes so strongly in it and it's such a great thing, wouldn't you think I'm just going to smack this guy down and debate him and show what a great thing it is? Bet he won't do it. Bet he won't do it.
And the clock is running. Paul Neelan on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380 on the drive home with Sly.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.